Now, King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote a lot of things. I forget exactly, was it 1,001 Proverbs or 1,001 hymns? But there were lots of them. And in Proverbs 23 and verse 26, he says, "My son, give me thine heart." Son, daughter, child, give me thine heart. Solomon here was speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ as an ambassador 950 years before Christ came to say on the Saviour's behalf, "My son, give me thine heart." Many of you will remember the story of Samuel. And when Samuel was young, he heard this voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." He thought it was Eli calling him, but of course it wasn't. It was God calling him. And it happened again, "Samuel, Samuel." And it happened again, "Samuel, Samuel." Now, we won't hear our names called by God. But the Spirit of the Lord God will meet with our spirit in our hearts so that we know that He is speaking to us. "My name is Michael." It was as if He said, "Michael, give me thine heart." And I would know it even if I didn't hear the name. There would be something deep down within me, something in my spirit that was feeling the Holy Spirit calling to my heart. "My son," says the Lord Jesus, "give me thine heart." I think we would know what it meant. To begin with, it would mean, "Give me your affection. Give me your devotion. Give me your love. Give me your being." We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's only one you. Nobody else like you. And so when the Saviour says to you, "Give me thine heart," your worship of Him, your love towards Him, won't be like anybody else's. And He is looking for you, for your love, for your devotion. "My son, give me thine heart." Of course, if a father, like Solomon, said to his son, "Give me your heart," it would come across a bit harder. Don't disobey fathers, especially the king, in days like that. And so son thinks, "Seeing that my father says, give me your heart, I'd better be loyal to him or else." But of course that is not how Jesus deals with us. He makes us to feel deeply within our hearts that there's no one we would love to have better or to know better than the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not a vague idea. "Give me your heart." there actually has to be a show of affection to the Saviour. There actually has to be a knowledge deep within us that we want to be the Saviour's more than anything. Give me thine heart. What makes it then that the Saviour says, give me thine heart? But what makes us want to respond that we will give him our hearts? When you know you like somebody, it's difficult to know quite what happens first within us. Very likely it might be, especially when we're young, that we think they seem kind. They seem nice in that way. They don't seem to reject us. They don't seem to be superior to us. We can get on with them more or less as equals. They're nice. They're kind. And that is really a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the letter to the Ephesians that he will spend all his time in heaven showing us his kindness and his love. So kindness. Every time I read the Gospels and I read about something that the Lord Jesus did, I find myself saying, that's wonderful. How lovely you were. How kind you were. That a woman so far away, say from Jerusalem, but that he went to meet, that he should take notice of her, that he should care for her, that he should be interested in her. How kind it was of the Lord Jesus, I find myself saying, when he wept at the graveside of Lazarus. After all, he knew he was going to raise him. Why weep? But he wept for the sin, the misery that death causes, the curse upon mankind that results in their death. And he was going to make Lazarus alive again, because he's come to make souls alive again that were dead under the curse and the enmity of God. So Jesus is kind. If we give him our hearts, our love, our loyalty, our devotion, it will be well placed. He will be kind to us. And we will learn kindness ourselves as we get to know the Saviour better. Then there's another thing. When you read in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ, you see his power. Fancy saying, peace, be still. Roaring winds and waves. Yet they stopped instantly. And you will have seen his power in making people better. You will have seen his power in all sorts of ways. And the Saviour who says to you, give me your heart. It's not a risky business. He's all powerful. You will be absolutely safe in his hands. Your soul will be protected forever in his hands. So yes, he's kind. And that is a great attraction. Yes, he is powerful. We can't boss him about. And that is a great attraction. But this Saviour who says, give me thine heart, does so for a much more important reason. All those 3 years that he spent being kind, all those 3 years he spent when people could see his power, was for a purpose. And that purpose was to save his people from their sin. When the Lord Jesus speaks deep within you, and you know it's the Saviour speaking to your spirit, the first thing probably that you will say, many people did and I did, is, I'm not worthy. You're great, you're powerful, you're kind, you're without sin, you're perfect, you're pure. What do you want to do with me? And the Lord Jesus will make us understand, as we read the Bible, that he's come to us about our sin, about our sinful nature. Not just the sins we've done, sins in the plural, S-I-N-S, but sin, that great fountain that keeps pouring out from our hearts. Things, show-off things, hatred things, jealous things, envious things, pout things. And the first thing the Lord Jesus makes us feel is our unworthiness, because it is most important that we should have a correct view of our sins. Our sins make us unacceptable with God. You know you couldn't be in heaven. Everybody else would be spoil it, wouldn't it, for everybody else if you were there? Your temper would show one day. Something else would show one day. And there is nothing in heaven like that. So you can't go. Anyway, God says he expects us to be perfect. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. You can't do it. I can't do it. And when the Lord Jesus says, give me your heart, he's beginning to seek from us an acknowledgement that we need him. That without him, we're lost. Without him, we will continue in our sins. And the final result of that will be not to go to heaven, but to hell. And yet, such a wonderful Saviour, such a kind Saviour, such a powerful Saviour, came as a person. And if you ever wonder what God is like, actually like, Jesus is just what God would be like if he were a man. And he, of course, was a man. He was the Son of God. And he never sinned. Think of it. Never sinned. Not once when he was 3, not once when he was 5, not once when he was 10. He was without sin. And such a person as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to our hearts. My son, my daughter, my child, give me thine heart. I'm not worthy, you say. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anybody to be kind to me, least of all the Saviour God, the Lord Jesus Christ. True. You've got it spot on. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. But the Saviour came in order to pay the price of our sin. He that sinneth shall die, says the Bible. That's you, isn't it? You've sinned. He that sinneth shall die. And we know the curse of death. But it's not only the death of our bodies. It's the death of our souls. They don't die, but in going to hell, they might just as well be dead. You know what death is, don't you? Death is when the eternal spirit or soul within us is separated from our bodies, which then decay. Our spirits go straight to be with the Lord or go straight to hell, depending on whether we've believed in him. And our bodies rot. But one day when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to reconstitute our bodies and our souls are going to rejoin those renewed bodies. But death is a curse. Death is the last enemy. And Jesus knows that sin was the cause of death. We've inherited it from Adam and Eve. We don't sin exactly like they sinned. We each have our own way of sinning. It's a funny thing, sin. You see somebody else sin, you think, how dreadful. Because you don't sin what they sin. And they look at you and they say, how dreadful. Because they don't sin what you sin. It's a strange thing. Sin brings death. And the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. And he was prepared to say to you, I will suffer your death. Not the death of your body, but the death of your soul. I will make you live. I will pay the price of your sin. And of course he did it once and for all on the cross at Calvary. What actually happened is he took our place to bear the punishment of each one of his people of all time that ever lived. Amazing to think of. But just for now, think of yourself. He was on Calvary so that you wouldn't die. So that when death comes, your spirit would go to be with him and you would see him. You're a sinner. You can't get rid of that sin. It's terrible trying to be good because you won't make it. You'll get fed up. We can't do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. And because he took the place of everyone who believes in him, he takes away their curse. He takes away your sin. My sins have been removed out of sight, though they are many, forever, in the sight of God. But without giving him your heart, without saying this is what I want more than anything else in the whole wide world, you won't know these things. They'll be strange to you. It doesn't matter how much you believe and know about the Lord Jesus Christ, this must have happened to you. Otherwise you don't know Christ. You don't know why he came. And you won't love him because those who love him are the ones who knew he saved them. That he took your sin, my sin, paid the penalty to God. Sometimes I think, now, if I were God, what would I think about all those people that don't believe in him? Well, isn't it? He is God. And people say, he's not there. They're going to have an awful discovery, aren't they, one day? But God is patient, isn't he? All those people who say there is no God, all those people who say they won't believe in him, all those people who worship idols, animals, whatever they do, anything but God, what would you think of that if that was you that was God? Well, you're not. But God, it would not be God if anything that was unjust happened in heaven. And everything that was unfair, unjust, wrong, hurtful on earth, he punishes. But the guilt of that punishment was laid upon the Lord Jesus. When the Lord says, give me thine heart, what makes it real is the fact that you know what goes along with it is that your sins are forgiven. Then, something else. You begin to think to yourself, but what the Saviour went through. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns thrust down on his head. He was nailed to a cross. He bled. And he died. Now, not just for me, but if I believe in him, I'm one of those for whom he died. I ask myself, and I'm sure you do too. I wasn't worth dying for. I wasn't worth that price of the Holy Son of God. Except that he says I was worth it. Except that he died to save me. And when he says, give me thine heart, he means, I save you, and you yield to him as your saviour. It's good to be at camp. It's good to be well. It's good to be fit. It's good to enjoy yourself. But enjoyment is best had when you know that the most basic thing in the whole of this universe is to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that you have given your heart, the love of your heart, your love, your unique love, your unique worship, your unique trust to him. There's a bit more in the verse. I'll just read it really. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. After we've given the Saviour our heart, we want to be like him. And we're glad to watch him, to worship him, to pray to him, so that we can learn to be like him in as many ways as we possibly can. And we might be someone who conveys to someone the first kindness they've ever known. first time anybody's taken any real notice of them. But you learnt it from Christ. He did that for you. And therefore, in your daily living, that's one of the ways that you show people, you put into practice the wonderful life of Christ. Now, you've had a very busy day, you've listened well, but we're just going to have prayer and then we're going to sing and then the service will be over. Dear Lord, thou art the only Saviour. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that thou shouldest come to our heart and call our hearts to thee and forgive our heart's sin and take notice of us and love us and guide us and help us is the most marvelous and wonderful of all things on earth. And we pray that we may know thy Spirit calling us to thee, my son, my daughter, my child. Give me thine heart. Amen.